Yeah, it's the DTC podcast, people. The Real McCoy, original recipe. First in your ear hole podcast on dynasty trading and player value. Hosted by John Paul Hurley and Izzy Okafos.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast. We are back. Izzy, we're back.
Yeah, we are. This is true.
I feel like we frequently go away and then come back and we say we're back, but we're back for good this time, right?
Dude, I sure hope so.
We are the Brett Favre of podcasters, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
We retire, unretire. We're back though. We're back with the Minnesota Vikings, I think.
We need to get it together. That's all I know.
We got to get our shit together. By the way, this is really exciting news I've got for you. You probably don't even know this, but this is our 10th year recording. This is our 10th season. This is our 10th season of the Dynasty Trade. Yes. Our first season was 2015 in the winter. It was November something in 2015. So we haven't reached the 10-year anniversary, but this is our 10th season of the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast. How does that make you feel inside? Does that make you feel old?
Yeah, it does.
I haven't formally introduced us, just in case you're a first-time listener. I'm one of your hosts, JP Hurley. Joining us is Izzy, the Pharaoh of Fantasy Okafos. I feel like I haven't said those words in so long. Oh, so long. And we've got some good reason to be back. Recently, this last past weekend was the NFL Combine, and we've got lots of stuff to talk about as it relates to Dynasty. So strap in, buckle your seatbelts, and get ready. Here we go. Izzy, where do you want to start, man? We kind of talked a little bit about this before the podcast began, and we just want to talk about the Combine, but like, how do you want to break this down?
Yeah, I guess we can, philosophically, I think the Combine is fun. But it's over. How do you put this? The level of
overhyped.
I think the hype is about right. It's fun, but when it comes to actual dynasty implications, I don't think it's that valuable. In fact, I think it hurts more than it helps.
Oh, so it's like overweighted or heavily weighted?
Yeah, overweighted. It's definitely overweighted.
There's obese.
Yeah, there's very little correlation between combine performance and the dynasty, I guess, the ability of these players when the lights come on Sundays. And the reason for that, I think, is you see these guys play for multiple years, and the guys that play fast are fast, and the guys that play slow are slow. So if a guy that doesn't play very fast goes out and runs a, you know, sub 4.4, that's not really indicative of how he plays the game. So I don't necessarily put much weight into that. And a guy who runs slow but actually plays fast, that's a good thing. I mean, in most cases, there's been a plethora of players, especially at the wide receiver position and the running back position as well, that run in the 4.5s, 4.6s even, and they end up having great careers. I mean, Puka Nacua last year ran a 4.57, and he was second in offensive player of the year. So for me, it's not – the 40 times are fun, but I don't really put any weighting onto it. Like, if you are following an analyst and their rankings have changed based on what happened this weekend – you should probably take what they're saying with a grain of salt, especially if they're moving them up several tiers. Now, if they have players in the same tier and they're kind of mixing and matching throughout that tier, sure, that could be like tiebreakers. But guys shouldn't be jumping up tiers. Like Xavier Worthy ran a 4.21. He shouldn't be jumping up multiple tiers like we're seeing just because of how he ran.
I agree.
Same thing with Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman ran a 4.61, and it's not like I'm a huge Keon Coleman fan, but he was considered a loser because of his 4.61. But if you look at the drills, he ran the gauntlet drill just about as good as anybody, maybe even better than everybody. So I don't know. There's just a lot that goes into the course of the last few years for these players in college and just boiling it down and emphasizing an event that's held in, you know, basically spandex, not necessarily something I'd use to measure my where I'm moving players around in my big board.
Yeah, you're measuring something else when they're wearing spandex, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say that's a good way to key this up. I will say that the combine does become like a price of admission for certain players that you're kind of scouting and monitoring. Like, you would want to see Marvin Harrison Jr. run at least a bare minimum of X 40 time in order for you to feel comfortable with drafting him at a certain position. So maybe it doesn't move him up a bunch of tiers, but it kind of solidifies him at the tier that you're at based on his performances.
Yeah, you could say that. But even like, so he's a great example. He's a guy that's is not doing anything at the combine, didn't do anything, didn't do interviews, is not going to do a pro day. He's going in and basically saying, what you saw the last few years, that's what you're going to get, nothing more, draft accordingly.
And yeah, Caleb said the same.
He's not going to change, at least Caleb had interview. Marvin Harrison's and Caleb Williams are, I think, essentially locked at 1 and 2, unless something crazy happens in the next month and one of them drops further in the draft due to off the grid or off the field, even things that shed light on him, like the Laramie Tunsil thing. You know, so it would take some sort of extracurricular event that we aren't aware of right now for either of those two to fall out of 1 and 2.
I got a really quick question for you. Since you brought up the Laramie Tunsil thing, what would happen in today's environment if like one of these top draft prospects had a video leak of them wearing a gas mask and smoking weed? Now that weed has kind of become more and more legalized by state, and I feel like the NFL has loosened their policies, would that be as big of a deal in today's game than it was when it came out?
Yeah. I think it would still matter because it's about decision making. Yeah, not necessarily character, but it's about decision making. You know, it's okay to, I think most organizations don't care if you do it, but it shows immaturity if you got the gas mask on or doing the whole thing and then you're recording it. Like, that's just taking it to another level. But I mean, Tunsil's had a solid career, you know, despite that.
Yeah.
So it hurts their draft stock, but it shouldn't change their rankings or where you're putting them in your tier. I think it's almost like a non-event.
Yeah, I feel like Laramie went up the ranking boards for me after I saw that because I got a good laugh out of it at least.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let's move on and let's kind of go down. Maybe do you want to just cover maybe like the top 12 rookies, and you can tell me if it's stock up or stock down based on their combine. Now, naturally, there are a few that didn't perform that are in the top 12, like we talked about. So it's going to be, those are going to hold pat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to list off these rookies, and then it's up to you to tell me, like, based on their performances at the combine, if it's stock up, stock down, if you feel good about where they're at, things like that. How does that sound?
Cool. Yeah, that works.
So we can completely glaze over Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., like we said.
Yep.
The wide receiver 2 and the 3rd overall player. I'm using Dynasty Trade Calculator's rookie rankings, by the way, right now. Is that kosher with you?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
By the way, if you're a listener and you haven't yet subscribed to the Dynasty Trade Calculator, I would encourage you to do so because we have over 200 different combinations of rankings that you can use from based on your league settings. It's very, very helpful. The values of each player are listed. You can download and print the spreadsheets. It's a very useful tool, especially for drafts. If you're going to do like a rookie draft or a startup draft, super useful. Now, looking at the rankings specific to rookies, again, Malik Nabers, the wide receiver 2 in this class currently for value before the draft. And the number 3 overall player, where is Malik Nabers after the combine?
Yeah, so he's another, like, it was a non-event for Malik Nabers. I don't think he's going to be the wide receiver 2, barring some crazy landing spot issues.
And just let's elaborate. What would be the crazy landing spot issue? Like, if he landed on Dallas, would that be an issue?
No. I think that would be totally fine. I mean, they need a, you know, bona fide wide receiver 2 at this point, a young guy. So that wouldn't be an issue.
Like Seattle, that would be troublesome, maybe? Like just not a ton of pass volume.
Let's think about this realistically. Okay. So if I look at the list of teams, and I'll pull them up here just so I'm looking at them realistically. Here, let me pull up an actual, I'll tell you exactly. So if we're looking at where he could legitimately go, he won't go in the top three, or he's probably not going to go in the top five. So you're looking at the Titans as the next most likely at seven.
Ooh, I'm seeing the Giants.
Giants are a possibility, but the Chargers are at five, and they're not taking a quarterback. And I think the Giants might. And that would be, my guess would be J.J. McCarthy right now. J.J. McCarthy, that's the interesting one. I mean, out of all the quarterbacks that have the widest variance, he's definitely got the widest one of the four. Some people, I guess the rumors are that he's climbed up into the top three potentially
overall
to New England, but I don't think he falls beyond the Giants at six based on the excitement and the hype that he's been getting ever since. He performed well physically at the combine. It sounds like he had some good interviews. Like, I think out of all the stock ups at quarterback, he had the biggest stock up, which I think has solidified him inside the top eight. If he falls beyond the Giants, I think he goes eight to the Falcons. And I don't know if the Giants take Neighbors at six. Do they go offensive lineman? It's also a very good draft for offensive linemen.
No, they don't have a great wide receiver one. And like, I guess maybe as the NFL draft creeps closer, we can maybe get a little bit more, we can dive more deep into where we think people are going to land. But maybe for the sake of the combine, I might just list off a couple of these landing spots that I'm seeing that are kind of like commonly understood landing spots. And you can tell me like if you like it or dislike it, and then we can move on to the next guy. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
All right. So we got the Giants would be, I think, okay, because they don't have a wide receiver one really, right?
They don't have a QB1 either.
They got a QB4.
Yeah. So that wouldn't. Okay. So that's a good one. So if Neighbors goes to the Giants and Dunze goes to the Bears, and he's married at nine, and he's married to Caleb Williams and having DJ Moore there, and they're kind of 1A, 1B, or he could be, you know, just B to Moore's A. I think people will get more excited about Dunze's situation than they will Malik Neighbors tethered to Daniel Jones as it stands right now.
Okay.
So that would be the only thing I could see. Okay, what else do they have outside of that? So
the number two landing spot is the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening. They're not taking him at three. Just seems very unlikely.
Yeah, that seems unlike. Yeah, it seems unlike the Patriots. But like we can't guess where people are going to be moving around and trading back and trading up.
The Patriots have a new staff, but at the same time, the Patriots they need a quarterback. And I'd be surprised at this point with May. Maybe it could be Daniels, but it could be May. Two out of the three, JJ, May, and Daniels, well, two out of those three will be on the board. I just don't see them passing.
Yeah, but like try to stick to the script, because maybe they'll land a free agent quarterback.
Okay.
And maybe they'll trade back a little bit, because obviously I think that number three spot's a prime spot for a quarterback for a different team to trade in, like Washington.
Sure.
So like maybe like Russell Wilson, like they might make do with Russell Wilson. I know that makes me a little bit verpy, a little vomit burp.
So that would be a stock down situation if you went to the
stock down,
to the Patriots. Here's the thing. I would much rather have a wide receiver go to a team with a bona fide one, but with a good quarterback, than a no wide receiver one and a bad quarterback. Like we saw last, Puka's a great example of that. Like Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford had a marriage of all marriages in the NFL, like, and a great relationship on the field, off the field, the whole thing.
Breakfast, yep.
Breakfast, yeah, the whole...
And breakfast in bed, I'm pretty sure that was the rumors.
Nacua came in there, and he basically started off... He came out hot as a pistol right away. So it's... I favor that over anything else. Just give me a good quarterback. And I don't care if there's another stud there. I think we'll be happy with them both. In the NFL now, a good quarterback can easily carry two receivers to fantasy wide receiver two or better. So
yeah.
That to me, I think New England would be not a good situation given the uncertainty at quarterback.
Yeah. Unless they had some radical changes that we, you know, some big trades and things that we wouldn't know about.
Correct.
But like, yeah, we're speculating.
Correct.
Well, maybe this next one kind of fits the mold more for what you're talking about. The number three landing spot. I mean, we'll just stick to the top three because we got to move on to other players in the draft in the draft here. Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I do like that. I think Marvin Harrison is the most likely there, but if Marvin Harrison somehow goes before fourth or there's some trades, I do like the Cardinals situation. You know, Kyler Murray, this is a situation where they're looking for a wide receiver one. Could be a good marriage there. So I'm good with that one. I like that one.
Cool.
And right now I have neighbors as it stands, all things being equal. If you're in a super flex league and you need a quarterback, I don't hate the idea of just taking one of the quarterbacks with the best landing spot and just gambling on it. But I personally feel that Malik Neighbors is the safest of all of the players coming into the draft.
Wow.
And that includes Caleb. Let's look at this. Quarterback is the hardest transition in all of sports, is going from college to NFL. Like it's just a difficult position to play.
Unless your name is CJ Stroud, but I agree otherwise.
Yeah, but even then, like you look at it, it's like there's like a 40-50% chance that if you go back like a decade, only about 4 out of 10 first round quarterbacks are hitting. And when I mean hitting, where they're QB1, giving you a QB1 season.
Agreed. Yep.
But I look at Neighbors in today's NFL, and I actually tweeted about this maybe a month ago. But 10 years ago, Marvin Harrison would be the 101, or I mean, I guess the 102 with Caleb Williams. And it shouldn't even be a discussion. I think in today's NFL, Malik Neighbors, there's a conversation to be had that you could justify taking him over Marvin Harrison just based on NFL fit. He's exactly where the game is transitioning to. Players out in space, good route running, quick feet, you know, separating early, playing inside of the numbers, being moved all around the field, manufacturing touches. That's not necessarily what Marvin Harrison is. Marvin Harrison is your, you know, he's your old school win down the field, win outside, your Julio Jones types, your AJ Green types. And that's totally fine. I think he'll still be very successful. But when we talk about where I think the volume play, I think, is Malik Neighbors. I think he's a guy that will get a lot more volume than Marvin Harrison to the next level, assuming that he's as talented as we think he is. So I do think he's very talented, and his skill set fits so well in today's game. I think he's safer than Marvin Harrison, but his ceiling is lower because Marvin Harrison just has a better ceiling.
Okay. It could this be a little bit of a rewind the tape and kind of similar to the Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase conversation, just with the way that those two win?
Yeah, you could make that. You can make that argument. Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I'm not saying that these two will become them. Like, that's, you know, an unfair comparison at this point because those two have completely broken out into stardom. But as far as like just the way that they win, and Justin Jefferson in both the NFL draft and rookie drafts went considerably later than Jamar Chase, and obviously that's completely flipped. He's become the most highest paid receiver in the NFL, and he's unstoppable and he's breaking records.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look at the top receivers right now, and they're the space guys. They're the guys that win short, intermediate, and they're great route runners, and they're able to separate quickly. And that's like the Amon-Ras, the CD Lambs, the Justin Jefferson. Jamar Chase is one of those, of course. But even Garrett Wilson is climbing. Malik Nabers is fitting into that. So
yeah,
I like him at three. If you have two quarterbacks and you like both of those quarterbacks already in Superflex, Malik Nabers all day long. If you don't, I think you have yourself to gamble on a quarterback, but I think you're doing well if you're sitting at 104, 105 and Malik Nabers falls to you.
Love it. We got to move on to the next guy. So ranked as the number four rookie overall in a Superflex league, and the QB2, Drake May. Stock up, stock down, then maybe I'll go through some of the landing spot projections, just the top three.
This is hard because between the three quarterbacks, Daniels, May, and J.J. McCarthy, it's a crapshoot. It's been a crapshoot, always will be a crapshoot, no matter what. It's the intangibles that we don't know about are going to determine who's actually going to succeed, and also team fit. It feels like every year we assume, okay, this quarterback's going to be the best in this group, and this is going to be a second best quarterback, and then it gets flipped on its head. Even we look at last year, it was Anthony Richard, Bryce Young, and then C.J. Stroud, and C.J. Stroud is the best of the three. Now, pending Anthony Richardson, but C.J. Stroud, it'll be very difficult for Anthony Richardson to outperform C.J. Stroud based on what we've seen, you know? And we could be looking at the same thing with these three, Daniels, May, and J.J. McCarthy. You could go Daniels, May, McCarthy, or May, Daniels, McCarthy, and McCarthy could be the best of the three. One of our friends, Thor Nystrom, he's been beating the drum on J.J. McCarthy for the last few months.
And he's really deep into college analysis. Yep. Anybody doesn't know who Thor is.
Yeah, he's one of the best. Now, does Thor get him wrong? Absolutely. But I mean, he gets him right. He gets him right more than he gets him wrong. And there is an analyst out there that will get them all right or get a vast majority of them right. But the ones that you respect, guys like Thor, you have to take what they're saying at pretty high value, which I do. So if it's a situation between Daniels, May, and McCarthy, and he's like, hey, McCarthy's the best of the three, I believe him. I think I'm more likely to get on that bandwagon, just like we saw with C.J. Stroud last year and how he wasn't top two, he was the third, and he ended up being the best. So with May, you asked me, like, should he be there? Sure. I think it's landing spot dependent for the quarterbacks.
He may be there, right?
So I'm going to reserve judgment on these three quarterbacks until I find out where they're actually going to land.
Okay. And we'll talk, that's a perfect segue to landing spots. Before I do that, I've got a quick question for you. What do you get when a college analyst works out at the gym? When a college football analyst works out in the gym, what do you get?
Jeez. I have no idea.
Thor. You muted yourself. Did you get it?
I get it. I get it because he's Thor.
With a list. What do you get? There we go. That's the better question. What do you get when a college analyst with a lisp works out at the gym? You get Thor.
It's not bad given you just made it up.
Here are the top three landing spots for Drake May. The New England Patriots. Let's say they keep that three overall pick and they take Drake May. They take Drake. I'm guessing that's going to be the hashtag.
Don't love that one. So where do the other two go? Give me the other Daniels landing spot. Is it Commanders?
The other Daniels landing spot.
So if May is going to the Patriots, who's Daniels going to in this?
Oh, like we'll have to do them individually. Yeah, I'll pull them up separately.
Well, it's hard to say because it depends on where the other two go and how I have them. But I don't think New England is a great spot. I think because it has the most uncertainty.
I'll give you three. Here's three landing spots for those three. Okay. Patriots, Bears, Commanders.
So Daniels goes to the Commanders.
We'll take May to the Patriots. Daniels to the Bears.
Daniels won't go to the Bears. Caleb Williams will. So the one I'm looking at is Commanders get Daniels. May goes to the Patriots.
Falcons.
And McCarthy goes to the Giants. But I'm okay with the Falcons if you want to put McCarthy on the Falcons. But for me, if that's the way it plays out.
There's not a clear-cut top tier there, is there?
No. I think of the three quarterbacks, May has probably the best, and I say this in quotes, safest, but it's very relative. Safe at quarterback isn't saying much. I just don't like the Patriots landing spot. They don't have any weapons, new coaching staff. It's just the whole thing, there's way too much uncertainty for me to feel confident in picking
a Patriots quarterback.
Patriots quarterback like that. They got a lot to work on. The Commanders, yeah. I think, of the three is the best landing spot.
You got Jahan, T. McSee, right?
Yeah, it's like, well, they have Cliff Kingsbury would be the reason why I'd feel confident in that. New coaching staff, but they got the weapons. And Cliff Kingsbury, I have a lot more faith in, especially somebody that's dynamic like Jaden Daniels. So I'd have Jaden Daniels out of May. And then the Giants, man, that would be tough between May and McCarthy with the Giants. I would go with Thor's. I would back Thor here on this one, and I'd go with JJ just because I trust Thor as a stance. But I'll be interested to see if either of these two teams bolster their offenses.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And what if the Giants get McCarthy and Neighbors somehow?
I don't think they can.
No, I don't think they can either, but unless they lay away their entire draft capital for the next couple of years.
No, I mean, I would love that, but that I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah,
so
agreed.
Realistically,
they need some wide receiver help.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good breakdown of those three quarterbacks. Are there any other things you want to say about them before we move on to the seventh overall player?
No, I think we'll touch on it in future episodes.
And then we got at wide receiver three. We got Rome sitting there at wide receiver three.
Yep.
I'm going to pull up his landing spots also, but maybe give us like a stock up, stock down post combine.
Yeah, he had a fantastic combine. His stock is definitely pointing up. I will say Pac-12 is not very competitive. We're talking about offense. The offense just do whatever they want. It's why Penix looks so good. It's why Polk looks so good. Clown looks so good. They all look good. Against Michigan, Odunze did not look that good. He looked like he was, how do I want to put it? Like the Michigan secondary is NFL future secondary type. You know, it's as close as you're going to get to the NFL at the college level, at least last year. And he just didn't look good. So does that concern me? Absolutely. But he checks all the boxes. He really does. But we've been fooled before with that. So I am hesitant with him. I am very hesitant with him. And I put up a poll, and it was JSN or Odunze. And I'll tell you what the result is now because I was just curious. 60-40 for Odunze. And I don't get it. Because we just drafted JSN 106, I think was about 106. It was where he was coming ADP-wise last year. And we got everything we were looking for out of him, considering he was the wide receiver three. He looked great. He is going to be a future wide receiver two or better at the NFL level for fantasy. and then we're just going to roll the dice again? Why are we just resetting the dice roll?
Well, because it's the mystery box. That's what we do. It's the mystery box approach.
But this is why people continue to be bad at Dynasty, is that they take the one in the hand and then they go after the two in the bush, when the one in the hand is actually looks like they're going to be pretty damn good. I don't understand it. What else did you want from JSN? You knew his landing spot. You knew he was going to go to Seattle and he was going to be behind Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. He goes out, plays a decent amount of snaps, ends up with like, I think he was like 600 and something yards, and I can tell you exactly what he put up. 63 receptions, 628 and 4. But not only that, he looked good.
Yeah, he looked good.
So you got a guy that looks good as a wide receiver 3, still putting up 604 in a offense that's not high volume. If Lockett is out of the picture, we're looking at a 1,000-yard receiver. And what do we know about Odunze? We don't know enough about him. We're just hoping that Odunze is what we think he is. And we don't know his landing spot, but people are still valuing him over JSN. And that's bad process to me. Could Odunze be better than JSN? Absolutely possible. But the odds are not in his favor.
And I will agree right now, Tyler Lockett does face a potential out in 2024. He is under contract through 2025, but he poses as a pretty significant hit against the cap, like if he continues on through 2024 and 2025. So we're looking at like a restructure, a release, a trade, something like that could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would make sense. It wouldn't. You don't need to have Tyler Lockett when you have JSN there. It's, you got what you were expecting out of JSN, move on from Lockett.
Yeah, that's a about $27 million cap hit for 2024, $27 million cap hit for 2025. So we're talking significant money here. That's pretty good. And then I wanted to really quickly cover Odunze's projected landing spots for you to weigh in on. It's got the top three as Bengals, Giants, and Bears. I think we're just going to be like a broken record here with a lot of these landing spots. Bengals doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but a ton of sense.
I think the Bears... The Bears makes a lot of sense. If Higgins goes to the Bengals, I just don't see that happening. The Bears would be a pretty good landing spot. And that's assuming, but here's the thing. This is all assuming that Caleb Williams is legit and Odunze is legit. So what you're doing...
Is it guaranteed that Caleb's going to Chicago? Because I think we're kind of like,
yeah,
assuming
it's
that
much
also.
Guaranteed. I think Chicago has pretty much said that they're moving on from Fields and they're going to draft Caleb Williams.
Damn it. But, that means I owe Dynasty Rich dinner then, because we made that bet that Fields would be off the team next year.
Yeah.
He's got me.
So you got him. So the problem with the Bears is, in theory, it sounds like it's a really good landing spot. The problem is that not only does Odunze have to be good, if you draft Odunze with the 107 or wherever you're taking him, but Caleb Williams has to be good enough to support DJ Moore and Odunze. And if either of them starts off slow, then you're looking at a pretty substantial discount. So is Caleb Williams and Odunze, CJ Stroud, and Tank Dell? Could be.
That'd be cool.
But I don't know. It's just you're layering on gambles and uncertainty. The more uncertainty you have, the bigger chance of a disaster. So for me, I'm trying to make sure that when I draft in these rookie drafts, I'm taking as much uncertainty out of the picture. And that way I don't feel like I'm risking as much capital. It's already a risk to draft these rookies. Adding in variables that we're unsure about is just sometimes too much to overcome.
Yeah, agreed. Now, speaking of uncertainty, the tight end position in rookie drafts being in like the top 10 is always one of the most uncertain picks. Like if you look back through the course of history, Eric Ebron, OJ Howard, guys, you know, tight ends that are taken really high in rookie drafts are really difficult to figure out where they're going to hit, if they're going to miss. I've been personally burned by them. I'm very hurt by it. I've got deep wounds from taking some tight ends in drafts. I'm still seeing therapy as a result of all these moves that I've made, these picks that I've made. But how do you feel going into this draft about Brock Bowers, especially after the combine?
The combine, he didn't do anything at the combine, so there wasn't anything to really jot down for him. But much like Kyle Pitts when he came out, the hype is very similar in terms of this guy seems like he's a can't-miss type of guy. And Pitts could be because he's still coming off and trying to recover from an injury.
And from a quarterback.
And from a quarterback, potentially.
But, and from a coaching staff. I'm like,
yeah. Bad. But I think Brock Bowers, especially because this draft is so deep, you're not having to take Brock Bowers at 102 like you were with Kyle Pitts, or 101 in some cases. Right? So you're getting a discount already because people are clamoring for these quarterbacks. There's four of them. And then you got Marvin Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunze, who are considered three elite receiving prospects. So you're kind of getting a nice little discount for Brock Bowers at 108, which is the perfect spot to take a gamble. So I love Bowers at 108. I think the top eight is very clear. If you're sitting at 109, sucks for you because it seems like it's an eight-man draft, and most likely it's probably going to end up being seven based on some weird landing spot that everybody just hates, and that'll make somebody drop beyond the safe tier, per se, or at least the top end tier. So this is the two guys at the top, and then the six guys after that.
Yeah.
And then, there's a big drop-off. Huge.
You're right. And I just had to toggle on tight end premium just because I'm assuming the majority of leagues are now navigating that direction. But Brock Bowers does actually rank ahead of Rome Odunze after I toggle on tight end premium. But you're right. After the seventh and eighth pick in rookie drafts, Brock Bowers, Rome Odunze, there's a huge tier break, massive. It goes from, and just to give you some values, 24.1, 21.7 in the calculator. And then it dips all the way down at the ninth position, Troy Franklin, wide receiver, 13.7. So a massive tier break after that. And then it's just a pick 'em.
And Troy Franklin, despite running a pretty good 40 time, I think his stock is down too, just based on how he ran the drills. So I think, I'm not saying I'm weighing that all that much, but I know from a community, his value will likely come down, and we'll see that in these mock drafts coming up. But yeah, huge tier break. So if you're 9, 10, 11, 12, you should be working, trying to get up into the top 8, ideally into the top 7.
Right now.
Especially in tight end premiums. Like, I would take Brock over Odunze for sure.
Yeah, and do it right now. Make those trades right now, because if you wait until the NFL draft or your rookie draft, it's going to be too late. People are going to be onto it. The trendy choice right now would be to make some packages, like the 109 and an early to mid second move up, and you'll gain value from that trade. It'll look good on paper, like if you're giving an early second and a 109 and move up one spot or two spots, it'll look good on paper, but you're gonna make out like a bandit.
Yeah, I agree.
Now taking a look at these, we can probably cover them a little bit more since we get a little bit late on time here. We can cover them more as like a block, especially because they're kind of in that same tier. Yep. Coming in at 9, 10, 11, and 12, and I got an interesting take here for you too to check in with you on. Troy Franklin, Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman. Those four are the next tier of, it's all wide receivers too. This is just a wide receiver quarterback draft.
Yeah, and Jonathan Brooks would have been a first round pick had he not gotten hurt. So I think Troy Franklin, I would be, my guess is his stock will come down over time just based on the combine. And Keon Coleman might as well. But let's say those are the four. Brian Thomas offers the most upside of the four. He's got the whole package. He's got the size, the speed. He comes from a good program. we've seen LSU be a nice little factory for receivers outside of Terrace Marshall most recently. So he's probably the best gamble. If you're a contending team, which you probably are if you're drafting a, 9, 10, 11, 12, trying to go for kind of that home run upside with Brian Thomas Jr. is not a bad strategy at all. I don't hate it. And I personally think as well, if you could make the case that Brian Thomas is his own, my personal opinion, might be his own tier just ahead of these Troy Franklin, Xavier Worthy, and Keon Coleman, I think are in a next tier. So Brian Thomas, your guy at 109, barring any weird draft issues. And then I'd probably, to be honest with you, I'd probably gamble on Jonathan Brooks at 110 over Worthy and Franklin or Keon Coleman.
Yeah, because you, from a process standpoint, you like drafting running backs ahead of wide receivers anyway, unless it's like in this draft's case where there's no clear-cut guys.
Yeah, there isn't one. I do like, especially on these contending teams, I like getting these running backs early because they're most likely to see immediate production. And then, because Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin and Keon Coleman will likely go, later first into the second. And when that happens, how quickly do they see the field? Who are they stuck behind? It just kind of all depends. Where, if Jonathan Brooks goes in the second, Trey Benson goes in the second, they're more likely to see the field right away. And it just gives you some good flip opportunity to try to move up in future drafts if you want to do some flipping. So I would go with Jonathan Brooks at 10 and roll the dice there that he comes back from his ACL and he's ready to rock. And then it gets dicey after that. The one guy that I'm really excited about, and I'm kind of bummed that he had a good combine, is Ladd Bukkake. Not just because he's got an awesome name, but I think he's a really sound player, and him running in the 4.39 is going to bump him up into rookie drafts when it necessarily shouldn't. Because once again, it's about how they play. He does play pretty fast, but just having a 4.39 instead of a 4.49 makes a world of difference for most people. And he's probably going to move up half a round in dynasty leagues. I could see him sneaking into that 201, 202 range now, especially if he goes in the second round. But he's going to be one of my favorite targets if I can get him in the middle of the second.
Nice. Wow. He's also one of the late Al Davis's favorite targets as well, considering he ran a sub 4.440.
Yeah. Well, Xavier Worthy is his favorite.
That's Xavier Worthy, man. Xavier Worthy is Al Davis's like reincarnation.
Yeah. And this Xavier Worthy performed. He's not a flash in the pan. He's performed well over the last few years. I don't know how much I love just these small speedster type receivers and in dynasty. I like taking a chance on him in best ball, and I don't mind taking a chance on him if he's like 201, 202. That doesn't bother me. I don't know how much I love the idea, or I think he's going to be. I don't think he's going to be a wide receiver one. I don't think he's going to be a wide receiver two. So in fantasy. So I think you're drafting a wide receiver three here a little too early. I don't know what his ceiling is.
Yeah, tough to define. But running a 40 like that is definitely going to gain some hype. There's going to be guys in your dynasty league that are going to hype him way up, and he's going to go way too high. All it takes is one out of the 12 guys or one out of the 10, one out of the 14 guys in your league to be excited about a 40 time like that, and it's going to be a ridiculous. His ADP is going to climb, I think, as the offseason continues.
I don't know. I don't think he's going to climb more than... I think he's going to top out at 10 unless he goes to the Chiefs, and then he might sneak into 9.
Yeah, I think he'll be like 9. Like, he won't pass Rome, but I think he'll sneak up.
Yeah.
And he might get a good landing spot. Who knows? Because he'll be a little bit, drafted a little bit later, and he might go to like Kansas City. Like, who knows, right?
Yeah, I mean... That's kind of where people are starting to dream him to,
yeah,
is Kansas City.
And as the finally they've found their Tyreek Hill replacement. I know that he's, you know, it's a completely different game that he plays, but that could be a possibility.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, definitely.
And that's pretty good. Are there any other notes, any other like heavy risers, heavy fallers that you saw coming out of the combine that you wanted to talk about? We can probably go another episode dedicated to the combine, some deep combines, some deep sleepers, and
yeah, next
winners
week
and losers.
Maybe we can talk a little bit more about that because there's definitely some names.
Lots of names. Well, that's a pretty good spot to stop. Thank you guys for listening to the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast once again. The 10th season. Make sure you follow us on all the social media apps. Just search Dynasty Trade Calculator. We're on Instagram. We're on X. We're on TikTok. Give us each one of us a follow. Also, you can find Izzy on X at DTC_IzzyE. And I can be found at FF Hercules. Thank you guys for listening. Oh, yeah, the main handle is at FF Dynasty Trade. Like I said, just search Dynasty Trade Calculator. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you guys next time. Bye.